Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dahlen Glanton in the Chicago Tribune's story today is headlined, Mayor Lori Lightfoot's apology does not undo the trauma Chicago police inflicted on an innocent woman during a botched raid. This is the story that not only we are talking about in Chicago, but they're talking about across the country. It was a major story on the CBS Evening News last night about Ann Jeanette Young, who in February of 2019 was getting ready for bed. She did not have any clothes on. Police burst into her house thinking that that was the address for somebody for whom they had a warrant. It was the wrong place, and as she tried to explain to them, you got the wrong place, they did not seem to be interested. 40 times she said, you've got the wrong house. There was nobody else there. Her attorney is on a phone line. It's Keenan Salter. And Keenan, we appreciate you joining us. You're on WGN. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's the latest? What's happening today with respect to this case?
Well, for us, our quest has not changed since I got involved with the case last year. Obviously, the interest level has risen, and appropriately so, due to the injustices that have been done to Ms. Young specifically, but not only to Ms. Young, by so many other people of all backgrounds, races, creeds, who have had their rights violated by not only Chicago Police Department, but other police departments across the United States. This is not a blanket attack on police officers or the important and vital role that they serve in our society. But I think we all expect and deserve policing that is done in a fair and humane way. And clearly what happened to Ms. Young in February of 2019 was not legally appropriate. It wasn't humane. And she suffers and will continue to suffer from those scars for the rest of her life.
So I'm kind of interested in sort of the video timeline here. So if this happened in February of 2019, who first asked for the police camera video and when was it first made available?
Sure. That's obviously been a big topic for discussion this week. Ms. Young made in her own name a FOIA request with the Chicago Police Department on November 1st of 2019. On November 9th of 2019, there was a request by the FOIA department for an extension of time, which they're allowed to do under the FOIA statute. They had even asked her prior to the request for an extension for her to send her government-issued ID. She sent them a copy of that. And then on November 19th of 2019, the FOIA that Ms. Young filed on her own behalf was denied. The reason given was that there was an ongoing investigation. Now, we're 13 months after that, and to our understanding, not one police officer who burst into her home and saw her naked, and you said over 40 times, it was 43 times at least, that she told them they were in the wrong house. They actually apologized on video when they finally recognized that they were in the wrong place. They had a conversation off camera. Somebody turned off their body camera. Another person didn't have their body camera rolling at all. These are problems. These issues, I suspect, violate the body camera statute that was passed by the Illinois legislature and certainly the policy of the Chicago Police Department. These are all problems. But the narrative that has been put out there that somehow Ms. Young didn't request these access to these videos on her own and wasn't denied, unfortunately, the mayor, I said that yesterday during her press conference, and I just think sadly she didn't have all the information, and that's unfortunate because someone within her department, someone within the city organization should have let her know that actually Ms. Young filed a FOIA request and we denied it, and we said it was because there was an ongoing investigation.
So if that was November 19th of 2019 that the city denied her FOIA request, then how does she get the video? When did she first see the video, or did Channel 2 first get the video?
So I don't want to there are a lot of moving parts as it relates to when she first saw it. But the bottom line is she wasn't provided access to the videos that she was entitled to. And if we want to get into a deeper discussion about the body worn camera statute, the proponent, I shouldn't say it that way, the subject, i.e. the person who's been videotaped, or the officer whose videotape is on the other side of that videotape. Each of those individuals has an absolute right to access those body worn cameras outside of any other process. So even if the media, for example, were to be denied the body worn camera footage, the person who was taped should have access to it. And not only does that make legal sense, it makes common sense. And then, so this instance is a great example why. So under what theory would it make sense, and how would it ever be reasonable or fair or just humane that you can come into a woman's home, you videotape her, 12 men videotape her naked for nearly 30 to 40 minutes. They don't even ask for her name and ID until about 35, 40 minutes into the encounter. I contend that's the first time they ever saw her as a human being, which really raises some larger societal issues about the ways that people view people of color, that people view black women. And that's really unfortunate.
I understand that point.
In 2020.
So then the next couple questions that come to mind are, I'm just reading from the Tribune story. It said city lawyers filed a request to have Young, your client, sanctioned for allegedly violating a confidentiality order on the video. Is there such a thing as a confidentiality order on that video? And when all of this is said and done, did the city offer her any money? Did they just say, okay, we made a mistake, and rather than sue us in civil court, here's the amount we're willing to pay? Answer those two questions in a minute. This is WGN. Keenan Salter is the attorney representing Anjanette Young. She's the woman who last year had her door knocked open. The police were raiding the wrong house. She stood there with no clothes on for over half an hour, and our guest represents her. According to the reporting I'm reading here in the papers, city lawyers filed a request to have Young sanctioned for allegedly violating a confidentiality order on the video. Was she not supposed to release that video, Keenan?
I don't want to discuss that issue because it's part of ongoing litigation. They have since shifted their position and are focusing their efforts on me specifically.
Yeah.
I think under the fundamental piece of this is, though, you as a member of the media, you often, the media often, and for good reason, uses the FOIA statute because the public has a right to access and understand what our government does, why they do it, and how they do it. And so the FOIA statute, as you probably know, has been in place for about 50 years. Those videos were absolutely accessible via the FOIA statute. What someone needs to ask the city is why they denied her request. If it was for an ongoing investigation, then why didn't they actually do an investigation? They tried to bury these videos. This is the city that buried the Laquan McDonald videos for 3 years. It's unconscionable that someone at the city would think it was appropriate to not provide, after you violate this woman in this most inhumane way, to tell her, oh yeah, by the way, you can't see what we've all seen because we don't want you to have access to it.
They still want to punish her lawyer. It says here, that's you.
That is me.
And so what's the punishment? And would it be for the same thing? There's a confidentiality order, and now at least they can go after you for violating that. It was not supposed to be released to the public.
So there was a protective order, not a confidentiality order.
Got a protective order. And did you violate that?
So, no. But like I said, because that is the source of ongoing litigation, I'm not going to discuss that respectfully. I'm not trying to be rude to you at all.
I understand that. But what about this, then? The amount of money, I mean, is at some point, I presume it will come to that. Did the city offer her any amount of money?
To put a fine point on that, no. They have not, as of yet. Now, that was before the mayor has recently made comments that she wants to resolve this. As of right now, that has not occurred as it relates to reaching out to us. Those discussions may happen soon, but I will tell you, it's more than about the money. Ms. Young, she wants accountability. She wants a real, thorough, and transparent investigation into why this happened to her specifically, and more broadly, why does it continue to happen to people primarily on the south and west sides of Chicago and people who are primarily African-American and Latino? That's a problem. I heard as you were leading off your initial segment before me where there was a discussion about who primarily is being impacted by COVID-19. obviously it's a global pandemic, but those two communities are being most impacted in Chicago. And that's a narrative as old as the entire last century.
I understand that. This is not nearly as important, and yet I'm just kind of curious. Laquan McDonald's family was offered $5 million or accepted $5 million from the city, and those are different kinds of cases, and yet it is the city having to resolve an issue like this. Is there a number that you all have in mind that you feel like would be appropriate for the injury she suffered?
So we're not there yet. And we're not there yet for a variety of reasons. And out of respect to the litigants on the other side, out of respect to Ms. Young, it would not be appropriate for me to discuss that in this
forum. What should the police have done, Keenan? Because when they were knocking down the door, however wrong they had it, the guy had a police tracker on. They're the police. They ought to know in what building or in what unit they should go into.
Absolutely.
But they got it wrong. So I don't know what the deal is there. But at least they thought they were doing the right thing. Now they burst in there. Oh, my gosh, this lady is standing there. She's got no clothes on. So at least at that very instant, I think the police were trying to do a good job. They weren't trying to knock down the wrong door. They screwed up. So I wonder if in that moment, what should the police have done then?
Sure. So, and that's a great question because it actually dovetails into what their legal responsibility was. So you're right. On the face of the piece of paper that the warrant was written on, it was a validly issued warrant for her address. So fine. So, but even before we get to the fact that they encountered her the way they did, you probably seen the video. You notice that the knocking is perfunctory. It's not loud. It's not knocking to wait for someone to answer the door. It's knocking to say that we did it. And then they immediately start banging the door down. So you kind of start there. Like, why was that necessary? They got the warrant issued at 10 o'clock in the morning.
No, but wait. But I think it's necessary because they don't know that they're at the wrong place. If they're at the right place, who knows if the people on the other side of the door are loading up or escaping? So they've got to get in there right now. And I don't think they don't have the time for niceties if they're at the right address.
How many times, you're in the media, how many times in the last 5 years have you heard of a raid that the Chicago Police Department proceeded into where they knocked down a door in this fashion and somebody was on the other side of it with a gun firing at them?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a number or an instance for you.
The reason is because it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So I'm going to respectfully push back on what you just said.
Okay, but
and the reason why I'm pushing back is because if you watch the video, they knocked down that door and went in that woman's house as if they were looking for a terrorist. This is an American city. This is one of the greatest cities in the world. One of the greatest cities in North America. We pride ourselves on diversity, on a city full of vibrant cultures, vibrant restaurants. We pride ourselves on something that looked like that could have been happening in downtown Baghdad.
Yeah,
that should not be in the city of Chicago.
One last
question.
And
furthermore,
go ahead.
It would not have happened in Lincoln Park. And I think you know that, and we can agree on that.
Yeah, we 100% do. So what's your next conversation with the city then?
The next conversation with the city is ultimately determining how we can have a transparent investigation of what happened here and then what policy changes look like for the issuance of John Doe warrants and how do we treat people with dignity and respect.
Are you or is she going to ask for those officers to be fired or what sort of discipline do you want to take place?
So discipline needs to take place. Whoever got it wrong. So at some point, every officer on that team wasn't in charge of actually going to get the warrant, right? And we understand that. There's one particular officer who prepared an affidavit. There's somebody else, another officer, who approved that. We start there. But ultimately, someone must be disciplined for this because not only did they get it wrong initially, but then once they got inside her home, they treated her as less than a human being. This woman is someone who supported Mayor Lightfoot in her election. Mayor Lightfoot came to, we happen to go to church together. She came to our church and talked to us earnestly about her desire to take office and be a reformer. Ms. Young is personally hurt by the fact that Mayor Lightfoot somehow did not see her as a constituent as a taxpayer, as someone who supported her in her efforts to reform on that night. Now, we understand Mayor Lightfoot was not in office on the day of this raid. Mm-hmm. We completely understand that. Mm-hmm. But in the time that the city has attempted to bury these videos and deny her FOIA request, that all happened under Mayor Lightfoot's watch.
Yeah, if I'm Lori Lightfoot, I'm really mad at the people who did not think that we needed to handle this better, that we needed to get ahead of this. I mean, you're right, in light of Laquan McDonald or whatever else we don't know about, this city has to have red flags around the release and issuance of videos. They've got to be transparent about it. They got to be civil about it. And to try and penalize the woman
right.
for the release of the video.
Right.
Even if you think you have legal standing, I would be very careful about how I prosecute that point. I'm out of time. Keenan Salter is an attorney for Anjanette Young. My best to you and your client. We'll continue to follow the story, and I appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thank you so much.